We pursued God's healing power. Because, see, God wants to cleanse us. Then God wants to heal us. Now, a lot of times we think, well, I'm not sick. And what we fail to realize is we have a spirit and a soul and a body to deal with in the areas of healing. A lot of times we may not be sick physically, but we're sick in our soul. There's areas of our life that are hurt. See, most of us have been damaged at childhood. And we carry around that damage for the rest of our life. And that's not the will of God. It's the will of God that the same blood that forgave me is the same blood that heals me. That in the name of Jesus. See, as long as you carry around the damage in your soul, as long as you do and do not allow God to heal, it's just like healing anything else. It's just like if I was to stand here this morning and I'm receiving healing from various things, then I can receive healing. The way you know you're still sick is by your emotions. Your emotions tell you immediately. Now, God has his emotions and Satan has his emotions. God's emotions are love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, kindness, faithfulness, goodness. The joy of the Lord, that is the emotion. But where I'm facing discouragement, depression, where I'm facing those things, lack of joy, lack of victory, all that is a symptom. All that just tells me it's still a place that God's healing. And you need to look at that devil right in the face and say, devil, you may have hurt me, but you're not going to keep me down. In the name of Jesus, that I'm going to receive my healing this year. I'm going to pursue God's glory and His great healing power. So I just want to just take a moment right there. If you're here this morning, you say, Jerry, I know that either physically or either mentally, emotionally, there's things in me that need to be healed. I want you to stand with me this morning if that's you. And we're going to take advantage of that because that's probably the second most greatest thing we can do. In fact, these are all steps in moving into the presence of God. The first step of moving into the presence of God, I come face to face with an altar. I must surrender. The second step I come in my progression of close to God is a cleansing or a healing. See, the truth of the matter is, most of us allow God to be in our life in accordance with the amount that we have received healing. See, those places that the devil hurts you are still the places that the devil tries to occupy your life. Those things, that's why a hurt can go for years and years. And it doesn't take much to set it off. That's why somebody can say, you know, they knew what to say when they said it. But that needs healed. You don't understand. The devil will always have somebody to say it. And the devil will always have somebody to do it. And the devil will always have somebody. But what you got to know is, when I'm healed, it won't hurt anymore. Amen. It won't hurt anymore when I am healed. See, what it does, a wound changes from being a wound. It literally changes to a testimony. Amen. 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 What was a wound of yesterday? God wants that wound to be healed. And then that will become a great testimony. That's why Jesus still has scars. See, a scar, what a scar means, I had a wound at one time, but it doesn't hurt anymore. Hallelujah. Amen. That's why Jesus doesn't have wounds. He has scars. Because his scars says, I was wounded for you. There was a time I hurt, but I don't hurt anymore. Praise God. Amen. So the Lord changes wounds into scars. And scars are testimony. Don't be ashamed of your scars, honey. Don't be ashamed of your scars. You be thankful for your scars. My scars tell me that I was wounded, but now I'm healed. And now I want to tell you what God did to take care of me during that wounding. Amen. So don't never be ashamed of your scars. But what we want is those wounds being healed. Now, is Natasha here this morning, or JP? We're going to pray for Natasha. We'll pray for her. She has been diagnosed with a form of cancer. Her name is Natasha. I want you to remember that name, and we're going to believe God for healing. Amen? Amen. And we had someone else. We're praying for inner healing. We're praying for physical healing. We're believing God to take care. Willie Johnson is sick and needs healing. So, praise God. Let's first pray for physical. If you need physical healing, why don't you take that little right hand. And the Bible says, call for the elders of the church. So when you take that little right hand, if you need physical healing this morning, take that hand and just raise it up toward the Lord, because it's God. He's the healer. Now let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, the word declares that by the very stripes of Jesus that I was healed. Lord, I come this morning to receive out of your great big reservoir of healing power that you have. I receive by faith. Come on, say that with me. I receive by faith healing in my body. In the name of Jesus, wherever that my body has been attacked, I now receive the healing power of the Lord Jesus Christ, in Jesus' name. And now, Lord, we pray right now for Natasha and for Willie, Lord, and we pray for healing in their body, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Now, somebody just celebrate God's healing. All right, now, if there's a wounding, and let me tell you, there's not a person of us that has not been wounded. The enemy made sure. If mama didn't say it, daddy said it. And daddy didn't say it, we had a school teacher that said it. And the school teacher didn't say it. I mean, the enemy made sure that every one of us were wounded and hurt. And so that needs healing. That needs to be healed. Somebody says, I need to get over it. No, you just need healing, honey. You just need healing. I want you to take one hand. I want you to place it on your heart, symbolizing healing on the inside. I want you to take that other hand and raise it up to the healer. Now, Lord, in the name of Jesus, we pray right now, Lord, for healing in our heart and in our souls. Lord, those places that the enemy shot us, hurt us, wounded us, Lord, we look past people right now. It may have been a person, but I know who was standing behind that person was the enemy trying to destroy me. So in the name of Jesus, Lord, I forgive people. But I receive healing from the wounding of the enemy in Jesus' name. And Lord, I believe that this year, just go and say that this year, every day, I'm going to be more and more healed. And you are healing me to where this will hurt no more. The Lord, you're going to take this wound and you're going to change it into a scar. And I'm going to have a testimony of what my God brought me through. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. And then this week, we're going from the arena of God's healing, we're going to the arena of God's power. We're pursuing God in His power. Now, this is where the Lord's really got to help us this year. Pursuing God in His power. We understand somewhat about surrender to the Lord. That means, man, first thing I got to do, I got to get things right with God and live a life that God's helping me with. But the second thing, I got to be healed. Because to be truthful, I'll never be able to live the life that God tells me to live until I'm healed. But when I'm healed, that hurt, that pain, that depression, that discouragement, that they tried to pull me down will no longer pull me down. Amen. But then this year, God wants to help us to experience the power of God. In fact, this is the year of the greater glory. Many of you have known glory in the past, but this is the year to experience greater glory of God. Now, God has glory. Now, what that means is that's God's manifested presence. That's all that God is and all that He does, all the goodness. God identifies glory by His goodness. He says, my glory is my goodness to you. When I'm working with you, doing wonderful things in you. Now, this year is to be the year of God's greater glory. Why don't you just say that out loud? This year, my life is going to change. This year, this is going to be the year of God's greater glory in my life. Amen? And so we're going to pursue God in His glorious power. We're going to pursue God's power. And I want, that's why I want to talk to you today. I want to talk to you today about living that supernatural life. But God is calling us up to a higher level of living. God is calling us up to live higher so we can come up to a place of greater glory. The truth of the matter, Jesus, I was thinking just this morning. I've been in Camden, listening at, I sat there and under Leonard Ford this morning, just being so blessed. And Lord willing, Leonard to be here either next week or the next week. But he was preaching there, and the Lord just really began to deal with my heart. Most people say, Lord, if you love me, heal me. Or Lord, if you love me, help me. Or Lord, I believe that you love me. But let me tell you the truth of the story. The truth of the story, God has already loved you, so He gave. That's what He said, for God so loved the world that He gave. God has already given to us. God has already defeated the enemy. Hey, how many know that Jesus won at Calvary? Have you heard that? Yeah, He won at Calvary. So God has given to us a great inheritance. And truth of the matter is, I've got to come up levels to walk in that greater inheritance that God has for me. Everybody say, I'm going to come up higher. I want to talk to you in the form of a war chest. That's what I call it, a war chest. A war chest is something that kings of old used, and it was battles in the past that will give them principles or weapons to use for future battles. And I'm going to tell you what, God has really prepared your war chest. You may not realize that, but God has already prepared in your life everything that you will need to walk out this year victorious. For your life to come up. Now, a lot of times the enemy has hid those things from us. And we sit there almost blind at times, not realizing that God has already prepared for us everything that we will ever need to win in this life. But God has already really done that. And I call it the war chest. So a war chest, what they would do in the old, a king, before he would go into battle, he would call for his war chest, and they would bring him a chest, and in that chest, it may be weapons, it may be swords, but it was things that would remind him of great victories of his past, and would bring an assurance to him of the future battles that he would face. I want to tell you what, if God's done something good for you in your past, I want you to just jump to your feet right now and give the Lord a round loud of a praise and applause. God's done something good. God's done something good for us. Amen. And so the enemy wants me to forget all that. Now, God's great. God has a great, great war chest. And we call it the Ark of the Covenant. But that's God's great war chest. That in the Ark of the Covenant, or in the Holy of Holies, as people would approach God in the Old Testament, because we approach God in the Old Testament through signs and symbols of what God has for us now in the Spirit. But in the Old Testament, what they would, in approaching the presence of God, the last place that they would go to the presence of God, it was the Ark of the Covenant. Now, the Ark of the Covenant was so precious, it was a chest that had winged cherubims that stood over it, symbolizing that when you move into the presence of God, you're covered with God's wings, with God's power. Now, wings is symbolic of great protection, great blessing in your life. So when you move into the presence of God, then it's telling us that we will have a powerful degree of blessing and we'll have a wonderful protection. But in the chest, I'm talking about the war chest, in the chest of the Ark of the Covenant, it was hollow, and you could take the lid off. And inside of it was atoms of man's failure. I want to tell you what. A lot of you, the devil has told you that you will never change. That your life will never be different. That your family will never change. That your kids are headed toward doom. I'm here to tell the devil this morning that all of my failures are in the chest. And now they're covered by the power of God's great blessing. Amen. God wants us to no longer to suffer from our failures of our past. Man, put them under the blood and go on with life in Jesus' name. And that's called the greater glory. All right, the first thing that, if I'm going to handle battles differently this year, the first way God wants me to handle things that I face is the first thing, always do that checkup. Now, we've already covered that. A checkup simply means, I want to know, Lord, did I open the door for this? Did I cause this to happen? Or is this just the enemy pursuing me? Now, a lot of times, let me tell you, with the battles that you're undergoing, you had nothing to do to bring it on, other than you love Jesus. And because you love Jesus, the devil hates you. But a lot of my battles, I brought on myself. I would leave a door open. Brother Ford said it like this. If a rat comes in your house, he doesn't come in the front door. He looks for a hole somewhere. All right, and I provided in my past, I provided a lot of holes in my life that the enemy would try to get through. But what do you do with that? Does that mean that and a lot of times people go through tremendous things and they think that they're suffering right. They just think, well, I opened the door for this and now I've got to suffer. I've heard so many people tell me that. Well, Jerry, I opened the door for this and now I'm just got to suffer with it. I'm here to tell you that's a lie. Jesus is a master of wiping our past away. And when the Lord forgives us, it's forgotten in His heart no longer. So you got to come to terms with that. You've got to come to terms with when you fail God. And I don't know how many of you have already failed the Lord today, but there's hardly a day goes by that I don't, in some measure, I don't want to, and I determine in my heart to daily not fail Him. But when you fail God, you've got to learn to quickly say, God, I'm sorry, and I'm receiving your forgiveness. And then the next thing, you look at the lousy devil, and you say, devil, you will no more condemn me, you will no more judge me, that's under the blood. Do not allow the devil to bring out from under the blood the things that God has already put under that blood. Don't you let the blood of Jesus be wasted. Do not allow them. I believe that's something that needs to ring in our hearts this year when we deal with the failures in our life, but also we deal with our inheritance. You got to just look at the devil and see, you've got to say, devil, I'm not going to let one drop of Jesus' blood be wasted on me. Everything that He shed His blood for is going to work in my life. Amen. See, the devil comes and talks you out of the blessings of God. He comes in and talks you into allowing Him to continue His work against your life. But you've just got to come to terms. Get a checkup. Every time you face something new, the first thing that I do is I first go to the Lord. And there in the Lord I say, Lord, did I bring this on myself? Is this a door that I opened? And a lot of times the Lord has let me know, yo, Jerry, you opened this door. But that's okay. Because in a minute, that door is going to be closed, honey. You understand? You've got to learn to receive forgiveness and go on. You got to go on. Because the enemy's job is to continually condemn you and continue to hold you back. You've got to, this is the year to talk to the rascal's face. Do you hear what I'm telling you? This is the year. Jesus did that. Jesus gave us the example of being able to stand in the devil's face and say, devil, no more can you do this in my life. That thing is gone. Amen. And then a lot of times the Lord say, no, Jerry, this is just the enemy. He hates you. Well, it doesn't matter. Once I ask forgiveness, it doesn't matter. In the Lord's mind, my sin is completely forgotten. So, and the very next moment, God stands with me as my defender. Amen? So, the God that you people think, well, I opened that door, so now I've just got to deal with this. No, you've just got to let God forgive it, and you've got to forgive yourself, and you've got to trust in God. You've got to put it under the blood, and do not allow. Everybody say, do not allow. Do not allow the devil to pull it out from under the blood. You tell the devil, devil, I'm not going to let one drop of Jesus' blood be wasted. I will not allow you to do this to me anymore. Amen. The second thing, you got to look deeper. People are so shallow when we come to believers. Just so shallow. You got to look deeper and you got to understand that attack that's against you. Unless you come to a place to have an understanding, the devil will always torment you about it. Now, there's some people that walk around and they get in this thing, I just got to understand everything. Well, I'll be honest with you, you don't have to understand everything, but you need to have a certain knowledge to fight through that battle. All right, now in John 13:7, notice what Jesus said. Jesus replied, "You don't understand now why I'm doing it, but someday you will." Your understanding a lot of times comes way after the battle. A lot of things that take place in life, you're not going to understand until you get through it and you see God's grace work in it. And then you're going to be able to sit back and say, "I can understand it now. I can understand that thing." But don't get caught up in this thing that I've just got to understand. Let me tell you, I've been married to Elaine for 43 years and I haven't understood her yet. You understand? But I love her with all of my heart. And what you've just got to come to terms, I may not understand everything, but I can look for a spiritual, I can look deeper in this thing. What am I talking about? Well, in Hebrews chapter 11, 1 says, faith is a confidence that we have hope for will actually happen. It gives us assurance about the things we cannot see. For me to have faith, I've got to come to a place in my life. I may not understand everything. I don't have to understand everything now. And God knows that. Some things I can't understand now, I'll understand later. But the thing I do know, I must come to a place where I see this thing through spiritual eyes. Amen? All right. Then Hebrews 11:6 says, it is impossible to please God without faith. I can get a hold of that. Lord, I can't let the devil keep me in doubt over this thing, because as long as I'm in doubt, I'm not pleasing you. I've got to look at this thing spiritually. Everybody say, "I've got to look at this thing spiritually." I've got to look at this thing spiritually. So we say, why? All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8 is so important. When you read 1 Corinthians and when you read 2 Corinthians, although they had the same writer, the Holy Spirit used Paul, but they look like two different books. Are they like two different people wrote those? And when you read the book of 1 Corinthians, Paul has all the answers. In 1 Corinthians, he's telling you to walk in love. He's telling you how the gifts of the Spirit operates. He tells you how to operate under the power of God and through the power of grace of God. And then all of a sudden, just a few years later, in fact, as short a time as 3 years later, he penned 2 Corinthians. And it seems like a totally different person. Because in this battle, he has been battle weary. When he writes 2 Corinthians, he's been through such battles of fighting against the enemy to where he's had to gain a spiritual look at what he was going through. I want you to notice what he said. He said, "We think you ought to know, dear brothers and sisters, about the trouble." See, some of you don't think you'll ever go through trouble. I'm here to tell you what. The trouble fixer is in your heart. The master of every trouble is in you. And the reason God is the master, because the devil that's coming against you to try to destroy you. Or he said, "I want you to understand this trouble." Paul said this. He said, "We were crushed and overwhelmed beyond our ability to endure." Paul said, "I went through things that I could not even endure. And we thought that we would never live through it." Paul went through things that he thought they were so hard that he would never, ever be able to live through it. And so, but see, Paul needed a spiritual outlook of what he was going through. He may not understand the battle. He may not understand what he's going through, but he needed a spiritual outlook to be able to face it. Notice his spiritual outlook. When he said, "I went through things that I did not even..." Some of you have went through things that you didn't think that you would make it through. Some of you have went through things that you thought you would never live over. But look at here. You're still alive and you're still here for the glory of God. Amen. The next verse, Paul said, "In fact, we expected to die." That's what he said. He said, "My battle was so bad that I expected to die. But as a result, we stopped relying on ourselves and I learned something." Paul said, "I learned something. When I got into a place that I did thought that I would die, I learned something. And what I learned is this, that God is the one. I can't rely on myself. I can't bring myself through this battle. I can't work out this family. I can't work out this marriage. I can't work out this circumstance. But God taught me something. He taught me not to rely on myself. He taught me to rely on Him." Amen. And learn to rely on God. Amen. Another version said it this way. "But that was to keep us from trusting in and depending on ourselves." Do you know why you're going through this? Do you know why you're facing this? When the devil comes to you and tells you that you've opened the door, you've messed your life up, you went one time too many, you've got to turn around and tell the devil this. You've got to say, devil, the reason I'm going through this is so I will learn not to trust in myself, but to trust in God. Amen. And devil, it doesn't matter, because God raises the dead or keeps me alive. God is the master of this situation. Why are you facing what you're going through? You're facing it so that we will learn. I cannot do it. Somebody just say, I can't do it. Shout that to the Lord. I can't do it. I can't do it. I can't. I can't quit drinking. I can't quit drugs. I can't make this marriage work. I can't be a sweet person. I can't come out of anger. But God brought you face to face with this so we would learn it's not dependent on us. It's totally dependent on God. Amen. And Paul said, that's what I learned during that process. I learned to trust in God. And then notice what he said. Paul said, I thought in my strength I would die, but instead I learned to trust in the one who raises the dead. So Paul said, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how bad this battle gets, because God's the master and God's going to bring me out for the glory of God. Amen? All right, then the next verse, he said, and he did rescue us from mortal danger. And notice what he said. Paul said, I learned this. I learned not to trust in myself. And in the very next verse, what does he say? Because I learned not to trust in myself, I have confidence now that whatever I go through and whatever I face, it's just a season. For this thing will pass and this will come to a place where God will victoriously bring me out of this for the glory of God. If you're dependent on yourself, honey, I want you to know you don't have much hope in 2016. But if your dependency is on God, you can raise your hands and praise your God, because God is the master of every situation. Amen. So it's to learn to have confidence. Now the next verse Paul said, and he's thanking those that prayed for him. Because that's the important principle we'll talk about at a later time. John chapter 9 verse 2, and we're going to borrow from Jennifer and Cricket's story just a little bit. But the disciples came to Jesus. What I'm talking about is understand why. See, you may not understand the battle, but you can answer the devil why. You understand? When the devil looks at you and says, why? You can say, this is because I'm going to learn not to trust in myself. I'm going to learn to trust in God. And then I'm going to have confidence that no matter what this battle is, God's going to bring me over it and through it. All right, in John chapter 9, the disciples came to Jesus because they saw a situation that they didn't understand. And so they needed an answer of why. And they said, Rabbi, his disciples asked him, why was this man born blind? Was it because of his own sins or his parents' sins? See, that's what the devil says. The devil comes to you and says, you've messed your life up. You was wrong, born into the wrong family. The circumstances that you've opened up, he's constantly trying to get it on us. And all we have to do, honey, is to realize we just constantly put it on Jesus for the glory of God. So they ask him, what was the cause of this man being born blind? Why did this happen to him? And then he said, they even tried to bring it down. Said, was it because of his sins or his parents? And notice what Jesus said. It was not because of his sins or his parents' sins, Jesus answered. This happened so the power of God could be seen in him. You, when the devil comes to you and needs a why, then you need to answer him. First thing I want you to know, devil, why this happened to me, so I would learn not to trust in myself, so I would learn to trust in God. You may can get it over on me, devil, but you can never, ever, ever, ever get it over on God. Amen. The second reason that you answer why is because this came because God wanted to demonstrate how powerful he is. God did not allow this to come on my life to destroy me. God did not allow this to come on my life to destroy my future. God has allowed this battle in my life because God wants people to see how much he loves us and how great his power is. It's so that the glory of God would be made manifest. See, God needs those. See, sometimes we come to the Lord and we think that we all of a sudden we sign up for no problems anymore. though we want to line up in that line, don't we? Lord, I come to you. Let me get in this line that would say, no problems anymore. I'm going to tell you what. If we did that, there would never be probably another person that would be saved on the planet. Because the way that people are saved, they must know that God is real. And the way they know that God is real, God comes through and God works in your life in ways that only God can. So the Lord allows you to face the enemy in challenges that you think you can't win. But then God just loves to show up on the scene and do something miraculous in your life so that people will know there's a God in heaven, and the God in heaven is the God of power, and the God of power has power for his children. Amen. Somebody says, but Jerry, you know, I know in the past, I remember a battle that didn't work out like that. But let me ask you this. What did you believe during that battle? How would you have answered your why during that battle? That battle that totally seemed like took you off and took your life in a wrong way. How did you believe? It's time to get our believing right. Can you say amen? It's time to get our answers lining up with God's answers. And when the devil comes to you and says, who sinned, you or your parents? You got to jump up in his face and say, devil, it doesn't matter who sinned. What matters is this is so the power of God will be shown. So people will know that God is real, and the God in heaven is a God that answers by fire and power. God's here to save me. Amen. You got to get your answers right. And then John 11:4, and that's borrowing from Jennifer and Crickets. It said, when Jesus received this, talking about Lazarus, he received the message that Lazarus was sick. Notice what Jesus answered. This sickness is not to end in death. I want you to notice what Jesus said. This sickness, you got to get your why. Why is this happening to me? You got to get your whys right. You may not have the understanding. You may not can bring out a full understanding. But you can get the spiritual concepts of why this thing is going on in your life. As long as the devil can keep you thinking you brought it on yourself, or that your mama brought it on you, or your daddy did this to you, as long as he can keep you thinking like that, then he's got you totally defeated. What he's trying to do is to deceive you, to keep you from relying on God's power. Because the devil knows when you rely on God's power, God's going to show up and God's going to let his power be known, so the people around you will know that God is still God and he's real in the heavens. And he answers with his children. But notice what Jesus said. This will not end in death. He didn't say it's not death. That's what Paul said. Paul said, this battle that I'm facing, I did not think I could live beyond it. I did not. See, some of you fight addictions in that very way. You get to a point of fighting that addiction, of fighting, resisting that. And you think, I just can't stand this. I just can't stand this. I just can't. But I'm going to tell you what. The Lord didn't say it wouldn't bring death, but he said it won't end in death. Whatever it is going on in your life, you've got to get your faith set. It doesn't matter what it looks like. It doesn't matter what it smells like. It doesn't matter what I hear. What matters is what I believe. And what I believe is that what Jesus believed. And Jesus' answers are my answers. Amen. You've got to learn. See, so many of us have been so contaminated by the world. There's three forces in this world. There's God and his force. And then there's the world that is influenced by the devil. The Bible said he is the prince and power there. He's the God of this world. He tries to influence the way people look at you. He's trying to influence the way people say about you. He's the influencer. Now, there is another realm, and that's the kingdom of darkness. And we don't have any problem there. We can recognize him there quickly. But where we have a problem at, this world can try to contaminate us. This world tries just to begin to think that we are under the same powers of the world, or that we're under the same directives of the world. I'm here to tell you what, honey. You're in another kingdom. You're not just in this world. You're not of this world. You may be in this world, but you're of another world. You have a God that loves you, a God that cares about you, and if you'll put your trust in him, you've got a God that will bring you through whatever it is that you're going through for the glory of God. And Jesus' answer said, this sickness will not end in death. When the end looks like the end, sometimes it's not the end. Can you say amen? Oh, people do this all the time. They'll say, if God was going to do something, He would have already done it. Honey, where do you get up at? Where'd you get that answer from? That had to be a worldly answer. That's certainly not an answer of God. Well, if God was going to move for me, He would have already moved. If God was going to turn this marriage around, He would have already turned it around. My, you don't understand how God deals with dead things just as well as He deals with live things. In fact, I think He deals with dead things better at times. Because when it gets hopeless, He becomes helpful. When it gets down to where there seems to be no way out, God becomes the answer. Amen? Amen. You know, if I was going to promise an older man that he was going to have a child, I think I'd try to do it before he got to be 100, wouldn't you? God said, let him get good and dead, and then the dead raiser will work in his life. Do you hear what I'm telling you? Amen. Amen. You, when you're in the midst of a battle, you just need to keep your same answers. This thing didn't come to destroy me. This thing came for the glory of God. This thing came against me because God could show up and show how much He loves me and show what His power could do for me. Amen. You need to get your answer right, honey. You need to get it right. Because if not, the devil's going to wake you up in the middle of the night and he's going to say, God's left you. God's left you. And then all of a sudden that fear is going to grip your heart and that fear is going to say, yeah, well God, if He was going to do anything about this thing, He would have already have done it. And then the fear is going to grip you in the midst of your heart. But you got to come like David. David said, when I fear, I will trust in the Lord. What does that mean? I've got a choice. Fear is going to come. But when fear comes, I've got a decision to make. I'm going to sit there and keep letting fear talk to me, or I'm going to let my trust talk to me. I choose to let my trust talk to me. When fear tries to wake you up in the middle of that night and tries to ruin your sleep, you let your trust talk to you. You say, I trust God. It doesn't matter what I feel. It doesn't matter. I trust God. I trust God what I'm going through. I trust God. I trust God. I trust God. God. I trust God. I trust God that God's going to bring me out of this. I trust God. God's going to bring me over this. I trust God. God's going to use us for His glory. I trust God. Amen. Notice what Jesus said then. Jesus said to her, did not I tell you, if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? That's what He told. He said, Mary, didn't I tell you this? If you would only believe, you would see something great. Mary, I'm telling you, if you would only believe, you would see something great. Amen. Then at the answer to it, verse 4. But on the contrary, why did this thing come? Remember, that was the question Mary asked. Why did you let this happen? Why did you let this happen, God? That's the question Mary said. Jesus, why did you let this happen? But on the contrary, it is to honor God and to promote His glory, that the Son of God can be glorified through this. Why is it going on in your life? So that the Son of God can be honored. We're living in a world where they don't believe in God. We're living in a world where they don't believe in the God that we believe in. Some people believe in God, but they believe in a powerless, non-compassionate, non-caring, non-loving God. That's not the God that He's called us to represent. He's called you and I to represent a God that loves us, that cares about us, that can be touched with the very feeling of our infirmities. That when we feel weakness, God says, I feel it too. But you feeling it and me feeling it is different, God says. When you feel it, you can't do anything about it. But I want you to know, my child, because I feel it too, I can do something about it for the glory of God. God has called us in 2016 to represent God. To be a representation to this world of God's great love for them. And the number one way that God wants us to do that is through the issues that Satan has tried to destroy each of our lives with. There's not a one of us, honey. There's not a one of us. I used to say, cry in your beer. Now I cry in my orange juice. You understand? whatever you're facing, whatever you're dealing with, God, the reason that the Lord has allowed that is He has confidence in Jesus that is in you. And He has confidence in His love for you and your love for Him. That when the devil comes to try to sell you a bit of goods and tries to tell you God doesn't love you, God's going to let you go down, God really didn't mean what His Bible said, God really didn't mean what His promises told you. See, the devil wants to sell us that bill of goods. But I'm going to tell you what, they're lies from the pit of hell. Can you say amen? They're lies from the pit of hell. The truth of the matter is, why? I can tell the devil why. Why am I facing this devil? I'm facing this because God just wants to show how strong He is. I'm going through this because God wants to show how much love He has for me. And everywhere He shows that love, devil, is just revealing to you what you missed, what you gave up. I want you to know something, devil. I'm experiencing what you had at one time. But when you broke allegiance with God, I want you to know I'm not breaking my allegiance with God. Can you say amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. So 2016, now this is number two, I think. I've got about eight of these that I want to tell us what the Lord has spoken to my heart, how to handle 2016. But the first one we've got to get down pat is, first, I've just got to look at God. Lord, did I mess up? I did? All right, Lord, thank you for your blood. I'm just going to receive by faith your forgiveness and go on with this thing and win this thing for the glory of God in Jesus' name. Amen. Learn how to just go on. And then the second thing I'm going to do, I'm going to get a spiritual perspective of it. I'm going to look at it like God. Like God told me to look at it. God told me to realize this thing did not come to destroy me, but this thing has come to allow His power to be strong in me. Amen. Some of you need to look at whatever you're facing. Whatever it is, whether it's health issues, physical issues, mental issues, spiritual issues, family issues, you need to look at it square in the face and you just need to say, listen to me. Let me tell you why you're here. You're here so as God's going to prove He can get rid of you for the glory of God. You're here. You're visiting my house so that God can show you He knows how to kick you out of my house. You understand? The reason I'm facing this is because God's going to make Himself strong. And God has chosen. Somebody say, God's chosen. God's chosen to use me. God has chosen to use me. God has chosen to use me. God has chosen to use me to show how strong He is. Lord, thank you for your grace. Thank you for your power, Lord. And Lord, I want to thank you that you're placing into our hands powerful spiritual weaponry. Lord, that would take this year and literally turn this year. For what the devil meant for bad, just like your word says, I'm going to watch you turn it for good this year. So I'm going to do a little prophesying. You want to do a little talking? Let's do a little talking. This is the year to talk. For us quiet people, that's hard. It is. This is the year to talk. If you're not comfortable talking to people, get out in a wood somewhere. Find you a place where nobody can hear you but the devil and God. And you start talking. Because this is the year to talk. Say with me. Say, this year is going to be a good year in my life. Feel full of the glory of God. For God has come to turn everything that the devil has tried to bring against me. God has come to turn it for my good. And for God's goodness in me, the world will know. My neighbors will know. The person that doesn't like me will know. The person that loves me will know. They will know that God really loves me and that God's power has been sent to raise me in Jesus' powerful name. Amen. For the glory of God.